Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Joining me is Pat and John. We have so many things to share with you today. We're excited about the Michael Badia interview that was going to be happening today. You're going to be so, enlightened.
Very enlightened.
All I got to tell you is that you're one to just hug your speakers. When you hear Michael, you're just going to hug your speakers because he is a man of no guile. He just loves God, hears from the Lord, and it's exciting to hear someone. I mean, you can imagine what it was like for Elijah when he was talking to God and he was going, and this is not, it wasn't true. His narrative wasn't true, but this is exactly what he was doing. He was saying, am I the only one? I mean, don't ever fall for that
right.
Because God can replace you thinking you're the only one. But am I the only one? I'm the only one. And the Lord says, I got 7,000. I got thousands of people. Just hush up. You just do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And but it is encouraging, though, when you find one of the thousands that he has been training up and hearing and been going after him and all that. And definitely Michael Badia, which is the grandson of Dimitri Dudeman, who was the prophet, the Romanian prophet that came to America and began to deliver a word. God gave a word to us through his grandfather, and he didn't speak English. So Michael, who is like me now, he's a little bit taller and thinner, and both of us are thin on the top, and we're a little thicker. Anyway, so let's move on from where did this come from? Anyway, so we're just both blades of grass, and he interpreted for his grandfather. And the name of the book, and Pat's getting me that right now, is it was written about the prophecy about America is written in the book. And when it was given at that particular time, it was, you know, accurate, obviously, but it took a while for us to walk into the fullness of that word. And now, when you hear the word that was given, and I'm going to talk to Michael about that, that you're seeing that we are so in the middle of that word, and it's not a good thing. But understand this in regards to the church, that the church is about to grow. I mean, the church grows under difficult times. Those that are playing with God stop playing with God and get serious with God. And but it was a word spoken over America, and so we'll be talking about that as we go. But I want to be able to just you to hear this interview. But first, you know, before we go into this interview, and Michael's going to be talking with us from Romania, although he spends half his year in Romania and ministering to the orphans there, the Hand of Help Ministries. But he also comes to America and spends the other half of the year in America, and we're just so excited to be able to have him on the air today. I do want to say, I found out, you know, you wonder, the big question you ask yourself, where can you share something? Where can you share something about God? Where can you keep a God secret? You know, a place that you can share the things of God to anyone there. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to go around and spread it. Where can you keep a God secret?
With God?
No, I found out. I've totally found out. If you want to tell a God secret and you don't want anybody to know, primarily almost nobody to know, go inside of a church building and begin to tell them about the things of God. Tell them about the things of God.
Wow.
And according to George Barna, you only have a 5% chance that they're going to tell anybody what you just told them. Right?
Right.
Because 95% of born-again believers, according to George Barna, do not lead one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime. So if you want to keep a God secret, If you want to keep a God secret, a secret of God, the best place to tell it is behind a pulpit inside of a building. And you can talk all day long until your vocal cords bleed. You can put it on tapes and discs and all these different things. But guess what? You only have a 5% chance that they'll tell anybody that God loves them, that God's got a plan for their life, and that he does not want them to be in darkness. He wants them to move into the light, that he will save them and forgive them and bring them into the family. And guess what? They, too, can be in the family of God. My concern is this. It's those words of Jesus when he said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. If you refuse to bring me up there, don't think my lips are going to move here with your name on them in heaven. And that's what he's saying, right?
Wow, yeah.
If you can't open your mouth for me in this short vapor of life that you have, that I gave my life for you to be able to move into the family of God and to forgive your sins. If you cannot open your mouth for me there, do you really think that I'm going to open my mouth for you when you stand before my Father in heaven? This is what he said. He said, if you deny me or you're ashamed of me here, then I will deny you before the Father, right?
Yeah.
That's what he said. Listen, we've been preached a false gospel. That is a demonic thing to shut our mouths. It is time for us to never stop talking. I was kind of being humorous about a place to keep a secret, but the sad thing is, according to George Barna, that's the best place to keep a God secret. You can say anything you want to about God inside of a church building where a church gathers at, and guess what? You only have a 5% chance of it getting out.
Wow.
When you're talking about times, oh my goodness. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but and we are going to be getting to an interview, a powerful prophetic interview with Michael Bodea of Hand of Help Ministries, the grandson of Deutrometer Dudum. Those on the Gulf Coast would know him, and all of our listeners around the world, you'll know him as Michael Bodea. And I mean, you look what's happening. The Christian Kurds are being persecuted. Christians, pastors are being imprisoned all over the world now under the Islamic Nations that has the caliphate. And Iran right now has Pastor Saeed locked down, amongst other ones, but we're focusing on Pastor Saeed. And he's been being brutalized, trying to get him to force. You know, we're all this persecution of the Jews and the Christian, JJ, we talk about, and you can find about that on the VFN Torch, is taking place in the world. And it's like we're just deathly silent. We're talking statements like, you know, Islam is a peaceful religion, and we just need to all get along, and we're removing their forms of government that is doing these things to the Christians and the Jews. The Islamic form of government, which is caliphate-type government with their supreme leaders, we're removing the even knowledge of that reality from our libraries, and we are, at the same time, the church is being persecuted by the concept and by their traditions, and hey, it's not going to be good for us if we don't turn around. And this is I'm glad this happened, what I'm about to share with you, but this is a sign. This is a sign when our current president won't even stand up for Christians being beheaded, priests are having their hair pulled out reportedly. One priest, they could not pull his hair out, so they scalped him. They are burning down churches. They are kidnapping Christian women and raping them and trying to force them to convert to Islam, but they're cool. They're cool with that kind of concept.
Right.
And forcing people who are non-believers in, reported by the Voice of Martyrs, to pay the tax for being in servitude to Islam. And it's kind of silent. I mean, look how silent the world is about Israel right now when you look at the Arab League run-up. But this, listen, this is who's standing up for us. Now, Tim Tebow, he is a football player, and he professes to have an awesome love for God and has helped out with orphanages in the Philippines. His parents have been missionaries, and he was missionaries with his parents, and he's always wanted to play football. So he started playing football with the Florida Gators, and single-handedly almost, these other players were almost like fodder around him. And, you know, despite whatever they did, he would just push the ball over the line, right? Am I not? Am I sorry?
No, he was very aggressive.
Right, until he kind of fell out once and started shaking. Anyway, so I mean, he's just a strong bull of a man in regards to just I actually have a video of his workout and all what he does, how he motivates the team and all, just to remind me of what a wimp that I am. I'm like, if he can do that, I can do this. Dear God, you know. And so, wow, my goodness. And so, it's scary times. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And so,
step on a cat. What was that?
Did you mind doing something to that thing and the thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And so, what now we have right now, you're not going to believe this. And so, of course, he went to go play for the Florida Gators, and you can only go to college for so long. And unlike me, I can go to college for 20 years and still not. I mean, he had this four or whatever.
All right.
And then he wanted to get into the NFL, which is, for all the non-football fans out there, it's National Football League. And they didn't want him. I mean, you would think it would have been the first draft pick because his bold stand for God.
Mm-hmm.
His bold stand for God. And so somehow, you know, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. God put him a mile high. Put him a mile high in the sky with the Denver Broncos. They got him on. Think about it. Now, the high place in America had a man who loves God, who is known not for his – he's actually known for not passing like everybody else. You know, that's kind of how God does. He uses people who just don't do things like everybody else, but it still works out.
Yeah.
And so they put him on as a quarterback against the – was it the owner or the coaches? The coaches. One of the leaders on the Denver Broncos – didn't really want Tim Tebow there, reportedly.
Yeah,
and
the general manager.
Yeah, but the owner did, I think. And and of course, boom! I mean, he started winning games.
Yep.
He's a mile high up, and he's falling to his knees and honoring God. And it's called the Tim Tebow, right?
The Tebow, yeah.
Where you just get down on one knee, and he could stay on his knee longer. Up, my knee would start hurting. I had to get up. No, he would get on a knee, and he would just, you know, just honor God, pray, and thank God. So he was a mile high up, the high place in America. God took him right to the high place. And immediately, the darkness wanted to take him out of the high place because all this attention now is going beyond the Valley of Gods in Denver that they talk about. You know, you got now a mile high where Jesus is being exalted over all those false gods. And it's like, we got to take him down. So all these dark folks who have lots of sold out money, you know, that's not a big deal. Just start buying and trading and moving. And next thing you know, if we could just promote him to a place and snuff this light out, you know, and next thing you know, I'm at Denver. He did Denver good. Did he not?
Yeah.
He did Denver
took
good.
Took him to the playoffs.
I mean, you would know better than me because you know what a bad team is and you know what a good team is. And,
there's something in the studio. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
It's noise.
We got to get some bait. Anyways, and then they take him, of course, to New York, right?
Yep.
The New York
Jets.
But he just disappears.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't play him. The quarterback was Sanchez. You have to get on the mic for them to actually hear that. That was John's lips moving. Sanchez. And of course, he's a good quarterback. You know, when somebody puts you behind Jesus and say you're gonna be the next one preaching, just go ahead and make yourself at home because you're not gonna need to replace place. And this, I'm not saying it's Jesus. I'm just saying that somebody's really high quality. They're trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you are real high quality and they put somebody behind you they really want, you better start watching out because all of a sudden one of the saints might come up there and break your leg. Reportedly, I'm not sure.
Allegedly.
Listen, this is what they said was, I had a bag on my head. I couldn't see where I was going. So listen. So now he was in New York, you know, and it's like, great. My poster's shot. I got a Gator poster. I got a Denver Bronco poster. And now I have a Jets poster. It's like, what do I do here? You know? No, I was just messing with you.
Didn't have time to get a Patriots poster.
You're just like, put his uniform on the green screen. We can just change his uniform as we go along. And this is for all the media fans out there. And so now they traded him to
New England.
New England, but I don't even know if they're even gonna keep
him. No,
they already cut him.
They cut him.
Man, ain't that something?
The life of an NFL football player.
And you know, the owner wanted him so bad. Mm-hmm. Even after they cut him, he says, I really wish he would have been able to make the team.
The owner.
Kraft.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's sort of like the president sending a hitman to fire you, and one of his people, when he's coming up after he sent the man to, he's the owner.
Yeah, well, you got a coach. I mean, you can't override the coach. The coach, that's why you're paying the coach and make those decisions. If
what do you say to all the coaches that the owner's fired? What do you say to those guys?
Mm. Mm.
Silence. Okay. So,
hey.
You know, well, so then who's standing up? I mean, who's standing up for Christians? Obviously, mm-hmm. You know, I know that the name Christian does pass the lips of our present leadership, but fruit doesn't, you know, ooh, in Congress and in D.C. It's not a lot of fruit. And at the same time, we're promoting Islam. We default to, oh, yeah, and Christianity. You have to understand they're the antithesis of each other. So to promote Islam, which says that Muhammad's the prophet and that Jesus is not the son of God. He's a prophet that has to come back and apologize for calling himself the son of God and insists the Mahi or whoever this is going to come out of this hole in the ground in Mecca, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, you have to understand, because of our ignorance, we can actually buy into a narrative that you're actually promoting one or the other. The reason why Pastor Saeed, by the way, is in prison is because he did not deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't accept Muhammad as a prophet and Jesus as the Son of God at the same time, because a prophet is a person sent by God who hears what God says and delivers it to you. Well, then that means you have true prophets and you have false prophets. And, you know, Church of Thyatira, God even talks about that, and over again, God talks about it. Well, if a prophet is saying Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that's a prophet, all right, but it's not God's prophet.
Mm-mm.
And so to accept Muhammad's word and the Quran as of God, then the concept we would understand is that it would be to deny Jesus Christ. And so he's stuck in a quagmire. It's like, my loyalty is to Jesus. I'm not going to deny Jesus. And he's in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, you think about this. When all the Arab Spring was going on, which resulted in Muslim Brotherhood leadership, right, and Islamic leadership and the rise of Islam, if you would, which right. means, you know, more prominent places of leadership, even all the way to the presidency, President Morsi of Egypt, and the push that's going on for Syria right now. I mean, who's standing up for us? You know, who's standing up for Christians? And you're not going to believe this, that when we're talking about Tim Tebow, there was a music group years ago called Kiss. And the leader of the group, or I guess one of the leaders, I don't know, his name is Gene Simmons. And he's talking about Tim Tebow, and he stands up and defends him. Hmm. He defends...
Wow. Gene Simmons, the Kiss,
yeah,
black and white mask.
Yeah, demonic,
yes,
devil worship. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But he's an American, I guess. You know, it's obviously, because he says, listen, you know, he's defending Tim Tebow here, and I'm reading it. I'll give you the source. I think it's radio.com. Yeah, radio.com. Is he's got a religious passion. Now, this is Gene Simmons of the music group Kiss. Right. Talking about this persecution of Tim Tebow for just being a Christian. It's all he's doing. I mean, his work ethic is one that I put in front of me because I want to be able to work hard, at mm-hmm. least somewhat of what he's able to do. But this is what Gene Simmons says in defense of Christians, in defense of Tim Tebow. He's got a religious passion as well. He should. He's in America, Simmons told radio.com mm-hmm. this week. He's proud to be a Christian. What's wrong with that?
Gene Simmons.
Oh, my goodness.
Gene Simmons.
And yet, with sports media and pop culture media, they make fun of his religion? Mm. Really? Is this America? In America? Think about it. He says, if he was wearing a burqa, they would dare say anything.
Wow.
But if you're a Christian, you get to be picked on. What the? Oh, I can't say that. Think about it. This is a American who understands what's going on right here. Think about that. Mm. And this the church should be, you know, wake up. He goes on and says, this guy's got family values. I never saw the media pick up on Michael Vick. He says, I never saw the media picking on Michael Vick for torturing dogs.
Mm.
Think about it.
Mm.
Or this over football players who allegedly have committed murder. That's cool. But a guy who's religious and has got family values isn't cool? He's cool to me.
Wow.
Amazing.
This is Gene Simmons.
Mm.
This is Gene Simmons. Think about it. And we're not even concerned about it. We're not even concerned about what's going on. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, fellow American. Thank you for remembering that the press did not go after Michael Vick, who gambled with the lives of dogs and had them die in the fights, or I didn't even go after a football player who allegedly has committed murder.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going after a young man who loves God, who helps out an orphanage in the Philippines, who openly bows down before Jesus Christ and acknowledges him as Lord, and loves playing football. And loves playing football. That's a sign, church.
Mm.
That's a sign when we go after somebody like Tim Tebow,
mm.
while we don't even say anything about Pastor Saeed in Iran. At the same time, both of them are being gone after. Guess what? We are them. We are Pastor Saeed. We are Tim Tebow. We are. That's us.
Yeah.
And if we're going to sit silent, when we're going to sit silent when Israel's totally surrounded like this, totally surrounded, this small little nation, but watch out, don't mess with her, but we're going to sit silent while people threaten her, don't bring her up, don't say anything, while the rise of Islam gets bigger and taller and stronger, more integrated into culture, and caliphates or the Quran becomes more instituted amongst these nations that we partner with. Listen, you've got, we'll be talking more about it in the future, but you've got to understand it matters who you partner with. And right now, America's partnered with Satan.
No doubt.
Yeah.
We've embraced Satan. Our leadership has.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of religion. And we have embraced the anti-Jesus Christ as Son of God.
Mm.
Religion, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Gene Simmons. I mean, think about this. Gene Simmons is the very one who's standing up. Is the very one that's standing up for Christians. Why nobody else is standing? They're attacking Christians and imprisoning Christians. Mm-hmm. And not even bringing up the fact that Israel's being surrounded right now. Listen. When it takes Gene Simmons to speak truth, and I'm thankful for you, Gene Simmons, thank you very much, then when he can see it as plain as day in America, and the church can't even see it,
mm-hmm.
we're in trouble. That means we are in deep, deep darkness. But not to top that off, I'm sitting here looking at, when I get back from a break, I'm going to tell you that not only is KISS and Gene Simmons standing up for us, but now the only other person that I see publicly standing up for is the king of Gog and Magog, Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. Come on. I'll tell you more about that when we get back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is the Bible a banned book within a state penitentiary? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work at a juvenile institution for the state of California. I have always had my Bible on my desk, my personal Bible, and the chaplain has asked me to hand out materials for the students that request it. My supervisor has informed me that I must remove all the materials, including my personal Bible, and I'd like to know what my rights are concerning that.
Now I'm going to get you right over to our legal department at the American Center for Law and Justice, because inside of prisons throughout the United States, and that would include juvenile facilities, there are chaplains, and those chaplains have Bibles, and those chaplains give spiritual counsel. And inmates that are in custody are also encouraged and allowed to go to worship services that take place. So the idea that a Bible would be off limits in the workplace of a juvenile detention facility is just ridiculous. Hang on the line. We'll get our lawyers in touch with you right away.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it, you know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you, you know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, some place that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods, but go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you, a video and some information to be able to help. You could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. There's breaking news going on, John. What's taking place?
Well, right now, they said a gunman.
Is this Fox News?
Fox News is reporting that a gunman shot four people in Washington, D.C. at a Navy yard.
Mm-hmm.
This is the building that basically housed the Navy Sea Systems Command.
Sea Systems Command.
So roughly 3,000 employees work there. They've been told to be on lockdown, and they haven't said yet whether they found the gunman or not, but all the people that were shot right now are listed in critical condition. We want to pray
now.
We really want to pray for the safety of these people. But also this.
Well, here they are. Right here. Let's listen. They're actually looking for the shooter now.
That's the shipyard, southeastern part of Washington, D.C. The small map on the right gives you a little bit of an idea as to where this is. It's right smack dab in the heart of our nation's capital, with the U.S. Capitol building up to the north and west about 2 miles.
You're listening to VFN Radio with the live right now. They are looking for a shooter at the U.S. Navy base right in Washington, D.C., the Navy Yard, and they've confirmed the shooting. They're looking for him, and you can see more about this on the VFN Torch and Details, but you're hearing it live as they're looking for the shooter.
Miles, based on the location for that screen, Peter Ducey is on scene. Peter, what do you see? How close are you?
Bill, we're as close as the police will let us get here, and I got to tell you, it is a pretty frightening scene right now. We pulled up, my photographer and I. It took us about 5 minutes to get here from the hill, and as soon as I opened the car door to step out on the sidewalk, a man in full military fatigues with a long gun went sprinting down the sidewalk. We're on a civilian street near the Navy Yard, and as soon as we stepped out, we saw that man running past. He was going somewhere in a hurry, and he disappeared behind some police line. We've got a coordinated response with officers from D.C. Metro. We've seen armored personnel carriers. We've seen multiple ambulances, although at this point we're told one injury confirmed. And, again, we're as close as they'll let us get to that right now. But it is pretty chaotic here. There is, along, as far as we can see, along the road to the Navy Yard, there are at least, I would say, close to a dozen fire trucks. They've all got the lights on. Again, we're trying to move our car. There are horns honking, sirens blaring, and guys, officers are driving as fast as they can. And right now, as we move the car, there's a man in full fatigues with a helmet. He's running with a long gun, and it looks like he's got his finger pretty close to the trigger, Bill.
Peter, it's
a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah, the report we're getting is this started at 8:20 Eastern time, which would about been about 50 minutes ago. Do you get a sense of how busy that that area is?
You're listening right now live. What's taking place right there in Washington, D.C. at the Navy Yard, where a man in fatigues, military fatigues, has begun to injure. He's shot and injured.
Four people are reporting right now.
And they can't find them. They haven't found them yet. They're looking for them. But this is like the Fort Hood shooting scenario, it looks like, where somebody that's dressed like you is shooting you. We don't know yet. We don't know what's happening. You can tune into Fox News, and we'll report more. But you begin be in prayer right now. But what we're about to talk about in just a moment with Michael Bodea, it's going to just confirm where we are, the reality of the direction that America is going. And although it was kind of humorous in what we're saying, but we're telling you right now.
I'm sorry, that number has increased. It is 10 people now that have been shot. Several have been reported to be killed. This is happening at the Washington Naval Yard, just blocks away from some of the government buildings there in D.C.
Reportedly,
this is what's happened going on
by Fox News is reporting that. Well, dear Lord, we just ask you right now for capturing of this man, that no more shots would be fired. God, that you would send your angels there to be able to identify this person, cover them, jam the gun, identify him, Lord, and bring him down, God. We ask that every life be protected. Everybody that's been shot, God, that you would, we speak life over them.
Yes.
And we just say that any kind of blood that would be pouring out of their bodies, that it would stop, the flow would stop, and that they would retain the blood, because life is in the blood.
Yes, Lord.
And we just pray, Father God, Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us, Lord, where we've turned away from you as a nation. And we acknowledge our sin, God, and we are sorry, God. We ask you, Lord, to stop this thing in our nation, God, as we turn back to you, give our hearts back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, and we'll keep you abreast of this as we're going. We're talking about the fact that Christians now and Jews, nobody's standing up for them in the midst of what's happening right now. Now what you're seeing is, who's going to stand up for America? Mm-hmm. Who's going to stand up for America? And Gene Simmons now, who is a Jew, and he stands up for Israel, standing up for Christian Americans, Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. You know, and it may have presented it in a way that seems kind of, you know, light, but it's not light. It's just trying to tell you, this is not good. And then when we find out who's standing up for the Christians, when our president and Congress and standing up for a biblical Christian, for Puritans, I guess you would say, people who look at the Word of God in a pure way and try in view of God's mercy and because of His grace to walk in that way with all the mistakes and things that happen in our lives. Well, you look at when the New York Times printed an opt-ad from President Putin, the president of Gog and Magog, and he's standing up. Mm. He's standing up for Christians. And I mean, obviously, he's just verbally saying it because you know, our leadership is not.
Right.
But it was reported that Vladimir Putin defends Christians, you know, and he said on August the 1st, he says Vladimir Putin has urged the world's political leaders to stop the violent persecution against Christians that have erupted in the Middle Eastern countries. Understand that he's been a supporter of all this for a long, long time. He's even killed his own folks under KGB as a KGB. But you understand, but at least he's, you know, I mean, this is bad when Gog and Magog standing up for you. It goes on to say that
this is a sign. This is a
huge sign. Remember, we just talked about that, you know, all the nations lined up under Gog and Magog under President Putin last week. And the church is no brighter for it. We didn't understand, you know, what happened. We did. If you're listening to EFN Radio, we're telling you. And he keeps on talking about it. He's always been there with King Assad. And he says, the adoption of Christianity became a turning point fate for the fatherland. And he even talks about God. He even talks about, you know, we're all God's children or whatever. I'm come on. But you know what? I tell you, when Dennis Rodman is the next one that shows up,
that's what's going on.
That's what's going on. You know, people are seeing it as an opportunity to promote themselves. And when we are the anomaly that people are trying to, that's being persecuted so people can get recognized, we're standing by the person in the arena about to fight for their life. Understand, we've got to turn to God. We've got to turn to God. And I want you to hear now, an interview with Michael Badilla as I'm talking to him about what God is saying. I'm about to interview and be speaking with Michael Badilla. I think he best describes himself, and I want to just read what he writes about himself and I agree with what he's saying here. He says, you know, I am the grandson of a potato farmer, the son of a glassblower. I came to this country, talking America, at the age of 9 and began ministering at the age of 12 as my grandfather's interpreter. I find pretentious, off-putting, and self-promoting in the house of God outright detestable. I prefer to fade into the background and let the message have center stage. And if men like or look to me, I pray that they would see Jesus and nothing more. I claim no title or mantle, have no aspiration for either, and am extremely content with being identified as just another servant of God. I believe we are all equal in the eyes of God, and the only difference between one who is called to minister and one who is ministered to is the level of accountability required by God. For to whom much is given, much is required. I do not believe that my call to minister, my heritage, my sacrifice entitles me to feeling entitled. I believe we are living in dangerous times, wherein the word of God has been substituted in his own house with men's notions and ideas of what they think or the things God's word should be. I am intolerant of both deception and men who would profit and make merchandise of God's word and believe that there is no place for entertainment in God's house. I refuse to compromise truth under any circumstances and will defend it vehemently until my last breath, and prefer to starve rather than make business of God's word. I believe in charity of heart and helping the poor and considering that caring for widows, the orphans, and the forsaken society should be a priority for every ministry and minister of God. I believe in a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God whose love for the world was such that he sent his only son to die, that we may have life. And absent of Jesus on the cross, there is no salvation, no atonement, or redemption. I believe a life of prayer, fasting, and obedience, humility are essential for every true servant. And these two virtues mark the lives of all great warriors, all God's great warriors. I believe truth is precious and greatly undervalued in our society. I believe that pride and vainglory are the root cause of more spiritual men's downfall than anyone will ever know, and find hypocrisy among the children of God both indefensible and inexcusable. I cry every time I hear George Frideric's Handel Messiah sung in the native tongue. This is who I am, for better or worse, a blade of grass in an endless field, a drop in the ocean of eternity, yet loved as you by the creator of all of this, confident in the knowledge that he comforts, he guides, and he strengthens. I love that. Hello, Michael.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful connection we have. As you know, we are talking to Michael Bodea. This is Greg Lancaster. We're on VFN Radio. Michael, as you know, I've been just my heart's been burning with some words the Lord's been giving you to carry around. And the first time that we met was when I was at Brownsville Assembly of God, and you came with your grandfather, and you were your grandfather. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! And you were so bold for a young man. You were like letting it rip. You know, you were at his right hand right there, and he would.
Well, I don't think I really had a choice. Yeah, I tried to soften the blow one time.
Right. I remember
that. The Spirit of God showed him, man, and he just stopped and he goes, tell him what I said.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ever since that time, I was a straight shooter.
I remember because, like, he would deliver something to us, and you were so nice the way you talked to us. I'm like, wow, it sure didn't sound like that. And then it's so cool to watch God in your life. Of course, you know, we're all a little bit older than we were.
Yeah, a little less hair.
I know.
Yeah, a little grayer, perhaps.
I know. For those that don't know, you know, Michael's ministry, Hand of Help. Can you tell us a little bit about Hand of Help Ministries so that our listeners around the world actually can give a helping hand, because so many people are looking for, and I'm looking for, by the way, myself and Donna, of being able to hopefully sow something that you would invest in the orphans for us, if you would. I would appreciate it.
Well, that's basically what we do in Romania. Is we have an orphanage, and we have about over 80 kids now. Tomorrow I'm supposed to take individual pictures of everyone, because my little brother, he's over in Wisconsin. He requested it. But we also do food outreach, clothing outreach. We help people pay bills. We buy livestock for people, cows, pigs, chickens. So we meet individual needs. That's our calling here. And we chose Romania because this is where my family's from. This is where I was born. And in the U.S., I preach. And it's not a soft message, because if it was a soft message, then perhaps we'd have more supporters.
Right.
But, you know, it's what God demands of us. He demands for us to have the strength of character to preach his word unabashedly.
Right, right.
And right now, fewer and fewer people are willing to take that stand for Christ, because, you know, it's Christians that are throwing stones at other Christians right now. If they're not politically correct, or if they're not falling in line with what, you know, the big names are saying. And right now, what the big names are saying is utter foolishness. You know, we're not going to abandon Christ because the Pope said so. We're not going to abandon Christ because he said, hey, you don't even have to believe in God to go to heaven. Really?
Really?
Since when?
Right.
Since when?
I love you, Michael, by the way. Go ahead. Come on, go ahead.
You know, and these are the things that we have to struggle with in our day and age. And when Jesus says, when the Son of Man return, will he find faith on the earth? I keep asking myself that same question, man, because the old guard has died away.
Yes.
And it's up to us. You know, yes. The guys that were kids back when my grandpa was alive, when the guy from Voice of the Martyrs was alive, when Brother Andrew was alive, guys that were preaching repentance. You know, I've met men that I respect to this day, and every single one that I respected preached the word of God unabashedly. And I said, you know, I'm not in any position to fill anyone's shoes, but I'm going to be faithful to the calling that God has called me to. Because it's in obedience that we receive our reward.
Yes, 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 and yes. Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, Okay. The I am in total agreement. You know, we're sad to say. Well, the good thing about one thing is you can come and deliver the actual truth to America, and then you can get on a plane and leave.
Right. Well, not forever.
Oh, I know you got to come back, but we stay there. When the man gets delivered, you know,
I fought God on it. I wanted to come back home. After my grandfather died, I really didn't want to continue in ministry. I wanted to be just an average Christian, the average Christian thing, you know, and God wouldn't let me. So,
average.
Average is good. Man.
I don't know. I heard some of your stuff. I don't think you would be happy with that.
It's only when you're thrust into ministry from a young age that you learn to appreciate average.
Yeah, I know. I believe me. I know. It's like, can I just have a plot of land? Can I just grow some potatoes again? Can I fish again?
Yes. Can I sleep in the same bed more than two nights in a row?
Yeah, right. Traveling is not
simple things.
I know. Traveling is definitely not something to be celebrated. Well, I was speaking of that. Oh man, I have so much I want to talk with you about. But the, I was listening to, and what we're going to be talking about in a moment, hopefully, is some of the things the Lord has shared with Michael and some that shared with me as well, and kind of merge and see what He's saying. You're going to be, it's like, oh my goodness! But I did get a chance, and if y'all hadn't got a chance to go to Michael's website, you got to go to Hand of Help website, which is handofhelp.com, right? Handofhelp.com, and you can find out how to get to it at vfntv.com and go to the torch, because we're going to have all the different ways to get to Michael, because this man's hearing from God. I mean, he is hearing from God, and we're going to be talking about is what you're seeing right now on your TV screens at the G20, what happened in Syria, what just happened with our president basically bowing down to Gog and Magog, and China and Russia leading the G20. Like, oh my goodness, where's Michael? We got to talk before it's history. And I listened to you, because we're going to get to that in a moment. I got a chance to listen, and you can hear some of his teachings on his website. And I love it, because you're doing, like, we're having a conversation is what we do. And you're talking about things God hates, and you're talking about those that stir up dissension amongst the brethren. And I thought,
oh yeah,
man, that was a good word, man.
And there's always a purpose in their stirring dissension.
Yeah.
And it's always to deceive the gullible. It's always to draw unto themselves people that are easily swayed. You know. And ever since I started in ministry, it's been this constant battle. But brother so and so said this. Well, it's not about who said what. It's what the Bible says. If we're Bible centric in our doctrine and in our theology, we're not going to stray. If Christ is our all in all, then we're not going to fall for the voices that are saying one thing or another. But as far as what's happening in the world today, look, I don't believe that the children of God should ever be taken by surprise. Right. This is my position. We ought never to be in a state of shock or awe or surprise, because in His goodness, God tells His children what will be, what the future holds, and what they must prepare for in their hearts. And this is one of the things that a lot of the American church has a very difficult time with, because their preconceived theology will not allow them to see past their noses, basically. I've met pastors who are, you know, blaming Jesus for being too late, because in their estimation, Christ should have come already and raptured the church. And I'm all, hold on a minute, but Jesus said this. No, but brother, you don't understand. But you don't understand, because if Jesus didn't come, then you were wrong. You know, that it's as simple as that. If Christ hasn't shown up and you expected Him to, then perhaps you need to shift your ideology, you need to shift your doctrine, and sort of open your eyes to the reality of what is happening and the fact that God spoke of these things 10, 20, 25 years ago, and through some men even earlier than that. God is never surprised. We're never going to hear God say, I didn't see that one coming. You know, He knows the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And via the Holy Spirit, we are privy to what will be as well. This is the beautiful thing about being children of God. We're not supposed to live in ignorance. We're not supposed to live in fear. We're not supposed to live in confusion and doubt and worry about tomorrow. We know our Redeemer lives. That is the most amazing thing of all. Christ is alive, and He protects His own, and in love He tells us what will be, so that we prepare our hearts, so we're not shocked by what we're seeing, because hard times are coming upon the world, man. I cannot stress this enough. There is no words that I can use right now to describe the times that are coming upon the earth. And a lot of people, well, you know, you're just, it's hyperbole. You're exaggerating. I'm not. The Bible tells us of the last days. And if we believe the word of God, then we need to prepare our hearts to see these times, but also live with the hope that God will keep us through them. This is the beauty about our God. God didn't just throw us on this rock and go, all right, fend for yourselves. You know, Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Well, sheep have no defense against wolves except for the shepherd. And if we believe that our shepherd is able to keep us, then we walk with the confidence and the authority that is rightly ours in Christ. You know, the church has lost its authority. It's forgotten what it means to walk in the authority of Christ Jesus, the one to whom all of hell bowed, the one to whom Satan himself bowed, the one who is Lord of all. You know, we live this duplicitous, half-hearted worship where we get together and bang the tambourine and sing a couple songs, then go live our lives the way we want. And that's not true worship. That's not true Christianity. I know we're supposed to be talking about something else, but I sort of let loose and whatever comes out, and let people judge me afterwards. So. But that's the way I work. You know, I believe that God needs to inspire the message. I understand that the times that we're living in, are very exciting times for some. They're very scary times for others. But through it all, we need to understand that God has already foreseen these things. And in what he has foreseen, he has already prepared the place of safety for his children.
Think about this. You know, tell me if I'm messing up your connectivity and what you're saying, because I don't want to mess up, because I want to hear everything you're saying. But what the enemy has stolen, one thing he's stolen was the vocabulary of the church. So when you say one thing, religion calls it, they identify it as something else.
Oh, yeah. Righteousness is now legalism.
Right. Righteousness is legalism. Church is a building.
Holiness is now legalism.
Holiness is legalism. Church is a building. We're not a person, and the voice of God is what some man says versus what God says to you, and the amen means this same Jesus spoke to me, this spoke to you. So when we come together and you speak, it bears witness with my spirit that the God, Jesus Christ, that dwells in my heart dwells in your heart, and you just hear this amen that comes together because we've got one God, one Lord, one Spirit, of which we all are with him. And that, and so because you think about it, in the last days, and we're in our present days, just like you said, I'm so glad we're not. You know, you can imagine Elijah. Elijah's going, I'm all here by myself. You know, I'm the only one. And then finally, Elijah meets somebody like you and goes, oh, we're the only two now. Now, there are others. I mean, we've been interviewing them on VFN radio. But it's encouraging
to
hear.
And I think that the knowledge that God has servants everywhere sort of takes away from our own self-importance.
Yes.
Because I've met a lot of self-important people.
Yes.
Because they thought they were unique.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps you are a snowflake after all. Perhaps you are unique in your own eyes. But man, God has servants everywhere. And you know what? If you're not going to serve him, he's going to find a rock, a donkey, something that will serve him and worship him. And he will fulfill his will regardless of whether you cooperate or not. You know, and this is one of those truths that humbled me when my grandfather died. You know, I wasn't. In my mind, I wasn't so much self-important as I felt unworthy to carry the mantle, you know, and God finally spoke to me through this old lady in a village who had no clue who I was. And she said, if you don't go and do what God told you to do, he will punish you and he'll find some way to do it without you. And that humbled me to my core, because I realized every single one of us is we're not indispensable to God.
Right.
God, in his love, chooses to use us, and we see it as a grace and we see it as a blessing.
Yes.
You know, and if we follow through with this, we have to come to terms with some, you know, basic truths. And one of them, we're not going to have the mansions or the yachts or the private jets if we truly obey God, because the message is going to, you know, it's not going to tickle ears. You know, it's going to hurt, because repentance hurts.
Yes.
Rebuke hurts, but it's something that is necessary within the body of Christ, because right now there's a cancer in the church and it's growing and metastasizing and nobody's doing anything about it, because as long as we can keep the lights on and as long as we can pay the bills, hey, it's okay that we're duplicitous, lukewarm heathens. You know, and somebody has to say, hold on a minute. If the power of God isn't present, if the Holy Spirit isn't working among us, if what God said we should expect as a body and as the body of Christ isn't happening, why are we doing it? You know, is it all just for show? Is it all just to wait for the golden parachute and the retirement check at the end?
That is so important. I mean, I'm telling you, this is so exciting. You got to join us for the extra. I'm going to continue my interview with Michael Bodea about where we are now in America. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It will come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFNTV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFNTV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFNTV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series. Mm-hmm. And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, mm-hmm. which also original intent and wisdom moments. And
prophetic words.
Prophetic words. Mm-hmm. And those are series that it has right there. Mm-hmm. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's V Victor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom, and we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.